typically we do this segment called Hey Joe, hashtag Hey Joe, at 3:30. You send us a question on Twitter. We'll do our best to answer it. Or, you know what? You're not talking about this. I want you to talk about this. All right, cool. We'll talk about that in this particular segment. But, you know, we had to juggle some things around today. So if you have not heard Hey Joe before, because it's typically in the previous hour, that's how this segment works. You send us a question. We'll do our best to answer it. Let's do it. Joe cracked it.
Alrighty, boys. First up in Hey Joe from Eric on Twitter. Hey Joe, game 7, right?
Wrong. Mm. I think the Carolina Hurricanes will wrap this thing up tonight. I think the fluke, lesson learned, lesson applied game was on Sunday for game 4. The way they played on Tuesday night at PNC Arena and dominated Boston was just kind of like a pride game, as you like to point out, Julio, but also understanding, yes, this is what we need to do. Let's just do this and go home. That's the way I kind of view tonight's game against Boston.
I do think all of these series, save for the Avalanche and their sweep
mm-hmm.
of Nashville, have shown the quality in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
I think that's my biggest takeaway from the first round.
Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, was here for game 1 between Boston and the Hurricanes. And he talked about the ratings going up, you know, this year, and it's not just because it's on ESPN or TNT, but just in general, the quality of hockey this year has been phenomenal. And yes, I think we're seeing that come to fruition with some of these series, including teams like the Florida Panthers, who we thought, you know, as one of the hottest teams, would get through the first round just fine. No, they have been fighting for it. We'll see how that all plays out in the end. Next up
from ZD on Twitter. Hey, Joe, is Svech going to show up to the game tonight or continue the trend he's got going into the playoffs?
I mean, certainly for the contract he just signed, you expect more out of him. He certainly was a different player in the regular season without that contract business looming over him. But yeah, now that it's playoff time, at home he's been fine. He's been using his physicality to his advantage. He still has to learn. I mean, sometimes you got to remember, too, that for some of these guys, they're still going through the process of learning what it takes to be in the playoffs. Svechnikov is a prime example of somebody who hasn't had a normal playoff yet, right? So, about what, the first one he gets knocked out in the Washington Capitals series, and then he gets hurt in the bubble. So, this is still a process for Svechnikov, a young guy who's got limitless potential. We'll see if those lessons are applied tonight. Next up.
Next up from Todd on Twitter. Hey, Joe, perfection line probably comes back tonight. So how do the Canes lines that aren't Staal line defend? The non-Jordan Staal lines, how do they defend?
Well, yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it, Julia?
Yeah, and I think this is where Aho, Svechnikov, Jarvis, they're the ones, more often than not, are going to be paired up with Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak in 5-on-5. You know, special teams, different story. You don't really want to give them those special teams because that's basically that line, and now you're giving them the, stay with me, man advantage. So you want to see Aho tonight step up to the challenge because I would be willing to bet it's going to be his line that ends up more often than not with Bergeron. And that's not just scoring, Joe. And it's really not even just defensively. It's really in the faceoff circle as well.
Mm-hmm.
Graham Hill had mentioned that when Bergeron is winning 75% of his faceoffs at home, now there's an advantage at home.
Yeah, you got the advantage.
When you get to put your stick down, there's a built-in advantage there. But we've seen when it's Jordan Staal, he not only handles his business defensively, but a big part of that is winning the faceoff. So the perfection line can't have the puck. I'm just going to go back to that first goal that they scored in game 3.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, in game 4. And I'm looking around the ice and Bergeron wins a faceoff, then all of a sudden he's, you know, beating Brendan Smith and Ethan Bear, and I'm going, this is not a great equation for the Canes. And that's the kind of thing that they need to avoid tonight. It's not going to be completely avoidable, obviously. But you saw that line be really neutralized other than a Marchand chance early in the first period. And Antti Raanta made a spectacular glove save on that and really kind of set the tone for the night that Raanta had. I just think the Canes need to play. They don't necessarily need to be as dominant as they were in game 5. They just need to remember what they did in Game 5 to make them dominant.
Next up.
Next up from Graham on Twitter. Hey, Joe, Apple discontinued the iPod line. How many versions of the iPod do you have in your junk drawer? Great question.
Yeah, I did see the headline that Apple is finally discontinuing the iPod. I did not realize they were still making iPods. They were making the iPod Touch, which looked like an old iPhone. The iPod Touch was the weird tweener where you didn't want to give your kid a phone, but you still wanted them to have a device that they could communicate with, you know, under Wi-Fi. So you either got them an iPod Nano or you got the kid an iPad. So made sense. Now you got me thinking. How many iPods do I have in a junk drawer somewhere? I hoard technology. I will admit it's an issue for me. Like, I've kept all of my old Nintendo systems. I've got boxes with Nintendo controllers in them and whatnot. The same can be said about iPods. I do have the original click wheel iPod. Like, with the old FireWire port, the big fat FireWire port.
You do?
Yeah, I got that one.
Isn't that worth something?
If it was in decent condition, it might be worth something. Well, I'll get to that in a second. So I've got that one. I've got an iPod Mini. The Nano, which I think came with a purchase of a MacBook. Because for a while there, especially with the little skinny one, yeah. they were throwing that one in.
It had like 125 songs. It was something stupid on there.
Yes. Oh, that was the stick. I'm talking about the one with the clip, and it had a little touchscreen on it.
Okay.
That one was meant for like running or whatever. That one came with a purchase because they were just trying to get rid of those things back in the day. Like, oh, come in now, buy a MacBook Air. We'll give you an iPod Nano. So there's a couple of those that are lying around.
I had a couple where it really, like, you had to be judicious with the songs that you put on there.
Yeah, you're talking about the original little Nano that was a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Now, you talk about which ones are worth some money. The last hard drive, not flash drive, but actual hard drive iPod, my understanding is, and I have one of them, actually sold 75% of my CD collection to make room, which is funny now that I'm acquiring things like vinyl and cassettes, but that's neither here nor there. I sold about 75% of my massive CD collection to various places, school kids, disco round, record exchange, and the money that I got from all those CD sales I used to buy a 160 gig iPod. The beast. Like the last one they made. Interestingly enough, that bad boy has retained its value. If you go on eBay and you look for a 160 gig iPod, those bad boys, they're going for like $500-some-odd. And the reason why is because...
I was going to say, please tell me why.
The reason why is that streaming... and the rights related to streaming mean that if you are somebody who has a collection of live music, I'll use Grateful Dead as a prime example of this. Grateful Dead, the whole point of the Grateful Dead is all the live shows.
Right.
Well, most of those are now traded through through files, through MP3s. You can find a bootleg here and there.
What was his name?
I forgot.
Ramrod.
Yeah, old Ramrod with Bill Walton, right? So Ramrod, somewhere out there, probably has an entire folder filled with Dead live shows. You can't find those on streaming. So you have to find a place to put them.
Okay.
So things that have been...
some value.
Hey, Prince, for the longest time, was not available on streaming. If you wanted to listen to Prince music online, you had to buy the albums. Or what I had done, I had taken my Prince CDs, dumped them onto my iPod. So because of rights issues, live shows, DJ mixes, there's still a reason to maintain digital files and keep them on an iPod.
Yeah, that makes sense that you say that.
So 160 gig bad boy can fit a lot of stuff, and that's why it's retained its value anywhere between $500 to $600 if it's in good condition. Because remember, it is a hard drive that still spins up, and that thing will break. It will break. It's got moving parts, folks. It will break. All right, next up.
Next up from Matt on Twitter. Hey, Joe, what are the rumblings about whether or not Sebron or Baby T are coming back to NC State?
When's the deadline on that? Is it June 1?
They get to go through the combine,
yes,
basically. And then they have to make a decision. They're both invited to the combine. Darian Seabrun's not coming back.
Okay. That's just your informed speculation.
That is a little bit more than informed speculation.
Got it.
Fifth year out of high school, super humble beginnings and his living situation. He's ready to be a professional basketball player, whether that's in the NBA or elsewhere. Terquavion Smith, he is going to be at the combine. I've seen him now starting to be projected into the late first round.
Okay.
I don't know how he says no to that under normal circumstances, but obviously these are not normal circumstances. I think it's safe to say that Terquavion is the primary focus of the collective and their financial wherewithal.
Like to bring him back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that would put him in a situation where you're paying him basically. Now, keep in mind, neither put their name in the portal, which at the risk of explaining this to future athletes, you should put your name in the portal because it's now they have no bargaining leverage.
Yeah.
Simple as that. That doesn't mean they weren't offered.
You put your name in the portal, then suddenly there's...
Right.
Yeah.
So, basically, NC State needs to bargain with Terquavion Smith based on showing future recruits, this is what we're going to do. Because, technically, his leverage would be to stay in the draft or if he comes back. That's not how they're going to approach it, obviously. They're going to focus on bringing Terquavion Smith back. There is, as I had to qualify on one of the tweets, because our guy Joe Wagstaff had tweeted at me, this is not like Dumb and Dumber. Like, so you're saying there's a chance. No, there's confidence that Terquavion Smith will be back playing for NC State next year. Now, if he kills it at the combine, I don't think the collective money is going to be able to match first round money.
No.
But if he stays on that edge of, well, you could go 28, which is guaranteed money, or you could fall out of the first round. That's when you're starting to having to kind of weigh, hey, if I come back for my sophomore year, I could make a decent amount of money in the collective, and then I could move up in safely kind of into that lottery range where I know I'm playing in the NBA and I'm guaranteed that money.
Next up.
Next up from Donna on Twitter. Hey, Joe, will the NFL ensure all of America sees Russ return to Lumen Field on the first Monday of the season?
I was going
to
say that's the Seahawks stadium. That's what it's called. It's not Century Field or CenturyLink Field or anything like that anymore. I'll double check on that.
So will the NFL ensure that Russ returns to Seattle?
Yeah, absolutely. Come on now. The NFL talks about how they put out, I think the number is like 50,000 different variations of the schedule and they have to get it just right. No, you're going to give us the best matchups possible. But what I've noticed is the NFL continues to find ways to just wag the dog when it comes to how we talk about stuff in the news cycle. I'd recently seen a report that the NFL wants to make the schedule release not just a night where every team does their thing. They actually want to break this out over the course of a week. What? How could you possibly tease that out over the course of a week? I mean, I have a hard enough time getting wrapped up.
Or they're already doing that.
In a schedule release.
They've already given us, you know.
A little piecemeal stuff.
A little
stuff,
Thursday,
right?
The Tuesday, the
Here's
Christmas.
Here's Tuesday.
I got to be honest with you. I used to love schedule release day. I'm so far over it. It's
Why
ridiculous.
Are you over it now? Is it the little videos you do? Or they do?
Yeah, it's to your point about they're trying to make it into like this big thing, and it's like, just tell us when the games are.
Well, remember the biggest pushback
you're
was.
You're also the NFL, so we'll actually know the start times, which is kind of nice when you're trying to make plans and you're asking all of these people the money that they've invested in your product. Like,
there's a point of diminishing returns. Let's go back to CBS and the bracket reveal.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, they tried.
They tried to make a 2 hours to reveal the bracket. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but somebody got fed up and they leaked the bracket online.
No, it was intentional.
It was intentional. So somebody leaks the bracket online and just undercuts everything that CBS was trying to do over the course of 2 hours. They had bands playing. They had animations going on. Just like, no, people just want to know what the damn bracket is, and then you can talk about it. It's the classic case of Ryan Seacrest on American Idol. He's like, we'll tell you the dramatic results after this break. Damn you, Seacrest! That's why he's the best in the business.
Can we go back before we get to the next question about NC State real quick?
Oh, what, with Tre'Quavion Smith and Sebron?
No. We talked all during the season how it would be important for NC State to add players that in the portal that they're not guessing about. Like, let's not extrapolate, hey, Alondis Williams averaged 5 points at Oklahoma. He's going to average 50 for you at Wake Forest. Like, let's not get into that game. Let's get guys who were at established programs and had good seasons. They added another one of those players yesterday in DJ Burns, who's a big dude. I think you're going to like DJ Burns, who averaged 15 points a game at Winthrop last year. Joe, he's a unit. 6'9", 275.
If
you liked PJ Anya.
I was going to say, my first thought
my guess is you're going to like DJ Burns.
That my first thought was like, oh, man.
But again, adding players, just like Charquel Joyner, let's not guess. Let's add guys who have already shown you that they can compete and produce.
Next up.
Next up from Sean on Twitter. Hey, Joe, will Tom Brady bring an NFL, being an NFL analyst, flame out quicker than New Coke did in 1985?
Look, man, I don't know. I mean, I have my preconceived thoughts on Tom Brady. I think he's kind of phony. You know, what he presents to you is phony. This is not me telling you that he's a fraud of a football player. No, he's the greatest quarterback to have ever done it, period. Straight up. Sorry, Joe Montana fans out there. Let the rings count for themselves, okay? But in terms of personality, there's a level of inauthenticity that Tom Brady presents. And on TV, if you're inauthentic, then people are going to just kind of reject you. That's what kind of made Tony Romo so exciting. People might feel the way they feel about Tony Romo, but the one thing Tony Romo is, he's feeling it. He's excitable. It's fun.
He's smart.
Greg Olsen is another guy who's going places because Greg Olsen, even as a player, has always been an incredibly relatable, personal guy. Tom Brady only wants you to see what he wants you to see. Now, he could shock us like Alex Rodriguez, who also, during his playing career, presented himself as a phony, just very inauthentic. Now, A-Rod has his own freaking broadcast on ESPN, whereas Derek Jeter never showed us anything to begin with and continues to never show us anything, and he's not any good at anything. I'm still bitter about the Marlins.
He's good at kicking
baskets. And you know
how
I feel about Jeter anyway. You want to talk about...
No, I don't want to get you going.
You want to get me going
no.
on Jeter?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Yeah, Jeets.
No.
Next up.
He is good at gift baskets.
Yes, he is.
He is. And last up from Chris on Twitter. Hey, Joe. In a chicken tender taste test, would you go 5 for 5? Hardee's. Chick-fil-A, Bojangles, McDonald's, Burger King.
I could identify Bojangles and I could identify Chick-fil-A. I could probably identify the Hardee's. Hardee's, y'all sleep on Hardee's.
Yes.
People sleep on Hardee's all the time.
I'm very confident in this. You can put Zaxby's in there too.
If we're talking about chicken tenders, there might be some listeners who would get upset because Boston Sports Talk Radio might make fun of us because we talk about chicken tenders.
We have a 30-second window, so we have 12 seconds left.
So I'm proud of Jillio, though. As I came back from recording the 919 Beer podcast this afternoon, you showed me the frozen bag of Wegmans chicken tenders.
They were good.
Did you heat them up?
No.
Oh, you got to heat them up, man.
I'll do that for the last hour. I'll heat up a couple. We'll all
you know
have
what?
Some.
Calling it right now. We're going to do a chicken tender draft.
Yes.
Let's go.
But wouldn't that require me having
you have time to
some
prep.
Knowledge?
When's the NBA draft?
Oh, we got a month.
All right. You got a month to do some prep on chicken tenders. I don't need prep. I know what my overall number one is. I got my big board. I'm not revealing my number one, but we are absolutely going to do a chicken tender draft next month. Let's go. I'm excited about this.
Give the people what they want.
I better pick first because there's no way I'm going to let this chicken tender slide to another team. I might have to trade up to get these tendies.
Are we going to have a like NFL schedule release, like the pick release, draft order?
All right, so NBA draft. We're doing a chicken tender draft. Let's go.
Yes.
I'm excited about this.